All right, let's call this meeting to order and rise for our flag salute. Laura, can you do a roll call for us, please?
Yes, Director Gatchel.
Here.
Director Ohilski. Director Womack. Vice President Cesenia. President Forkroy.
I'm here. Okay. Now we have our announcement of closed session items. Mr. Minner, can you announce that for us?
Absolutely. Pursuant to Government Code 54957.6, the board will adjourn to closed session. This is in regards to labor negotiations.
Okay. With that, we're going to adjourn to closed session.
I have to try and to take back the comment.
I will
first.
Say there's no public to take public comment for the record.
And there's no public comment online either.
We will adjourn to closed session and we will be back at 6 o'clock.
Hi, Lieutenant Grimm.
Hello, hi guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. I'm going to change my view here.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you. Yeah. So my husband is now what behind the scenes?
Just over here.
One of the faces for that.
Which yes.
Yeah.
We chose what is it? I did say no.
So you keep track of her.
Ready? Okay. I'd like to reconvene to open session and have a report out of closed session.
Thank you, President Forcroy. The report out of closed session is no reportable action.
Okay, great. Thank you. Our next agenda item is the consideration of our draft water rate study. Ron, would you like to start our presentation?
There it goes. Nope, got it. Oh, thank you very much. We are working through our new technology, not necessarily the microphones, but everything else. As you know, we've been working, if you want to go to the next slide, please, Laura. We've been working diligently on our water rate study. I thought I'd start off with the schedule since we could go back and review where we've been and the next few steps we need to take to finish. We started out with the Utility Advisory Committee back in February, moved it up to Finance Advisory Committee also in later February, where we gained valuable input to talk about the decision points, which we'll get into in just a moment. Then we went to the board and we got for a great board direction on where the board wanted to go, all of you wanted to go at our March meeting. We did go back through follow up with our Utility Advisor Committee and Finance Committee to tell them what was up and gain any other input. Everyone was pretty satisfied with the outcome. And here we are tonight to gain tentative approval of the rates so we can move on to the next step for the Proposition 218 notice. And then on to public hearing and hopefully for adoption in June, an effective date in July. Next slide. So I thought I'd go quickly over the key decision points, just to refresh everyone's memory. We talked about the level of net revenue, and that net revenue is what we're looking for our capital projects. We decided to go with $800,000, which the working group and the committees and the board thought was adequate to fund our capital. The Zone A property tax, that had a lot of discussion at all levels, but we did ultimately decide to use $50,000 of that revenue for each of the 3 years. Then the base sales for consumption, we had to get an assumption here because we felt that the current or the last year's level was quite high, so we trimmed it down to the 210,000 billing units. Again, we had consensus on that. The next one was another one of interest and conversation, the 4% interest rate in years 2 and 3. We all know interest right now is at a fairly high level, but the outcome from that discussion is that we will definitely be watching it and that we will need to at least in the next 2 years, probably even next year, come back with some sort of a report to the board how we're doing. And then finally, the base fee, which all ratepayers pay equally, was to increase from $70 to $73 this next upcoming fiscal year, and then a dollar a year more in the subsequent years. Next slide, please. So this is the proposed rates. Nothing has really changed. If you want to go to the next slide, it's probably a better indicator of what that actually means to the average customer. That is about the average customer use about 11 units per bi-monthly billing cycle. So you can see what our current rate is in the top line there. And as we go down, how the base fee increases, the volume charge for that 11 units goes up proportionately for the total. As you can see, the first year we'll see about a 4.3% increase for the average customer, and then lower increases out in years two and three of about 2.5 and then about 2.24%. So that cumulative is a good number. That's over 3 years. That's how much that average bill will go up bi-monthly. Next slide, please. So here's the recommendation, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions. And we do have Richard Margeson, who was part of the working group in the audience, that could speak to any questions as well.
Okay, thank you, Ron. Does the board have any questions, any discussion on what we've talked about?
Well, I would just say that, as Ron mentioned, the Utility Advisory Committee looked at this a couple times very thoroughly, and we are fortunate to have the group that we have to put the rate structures together for us. This is a detailed analysis. Obviously, the last time we had a rate increase, we skipped the last of the rate increases, didn't take it in a year that had been approved. So we don't do this lightly. That's about all I want to say. We don't do this lightly.
I'd like to just add thank you to the Water Rate Working Group. Yeah. You guys did this free of charge, and that's a huge benefit to the district. So really appreciate that.
Yeah.
At this time, do we have any public comment?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you are here in the boardroom, please come on up to the microphone. There's no public comment at this time.
Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Do we have a motion or any further discussion?
Well, I will move that the board approve the water rate analysis and direct staff to issue the appropriate public notice in accordance with Proposition 218 and to set the date of a public hearing to consider adopting the water rate increase on June 2nd, 2022.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have to do a roll call. It's amazing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, our motion passes unanimously. Let's move on. So that was general action item A. So B is to adopt the resolution supporting the County of San Luis Obispo's rate setting process for solid waste rate increase.
All right. Excuse me very much. I'm sorry, my voice talking too much today, I guess. Next slide, please. A little bit of background. If you recall, back at our February 3rd meeting, the board did adopt a resolution agreed to assign the franchise agreement, solid waste franchise agreement, from the county to the district. At that time, and part of that agreement, part of that resolution in the agreement, was that the board was informed of the county's process of reviewing the rate application submitted by Waste Connections, and that was that process had been lagging, and that those rates would be adopted after the assignment of the franchise agreement. And as part of the agreement, also the district did agree to accept those rates once approved. Next slide, please. Subsequently, back at the Board of Supervisors on March 1st, this was a consent item to do the transfer, but the supervisors did want the following condition entered into it. And it's basically a saying that, you know, the Public Works Director can execute and deliver the franchise agreement, but only after the Los Osos Community Services District Board adopts a resolution supporting the proposed new rate structure and the county's rate setting process. So with that, if you want to go to the next slide, I thought I'd really not get into a lot about the rate setting process. I did in the staff report try to explain it briefly. It is based on the City of San Luis Obispo's solid waste rate setting manual, which was adopted way back in 1994 and is in the process, of being revised. But with that, It works on a 3-year cycle. The base year, which we are in right now with Mission Country and Los Osos, requires comprehensive revenue and expense information. And this is reviewed not only by county staff, I've reviewed it, but they did hire a third-party consultant, Bill Statler, to look at it as well. For the two interim years of that process. Typically, it's only the rates are only adjusted by CPI, consumer price index, and any pass-through costs like tipping fees. So basically, we're in that year of we're trying to evaluate all the information that's been provided by Waste Connections and come up with what we think is a fair compensation for the hauler based on the terms of the rate setting manual. So this table, it's probably really hard to read unless you're online, kind of breaks out every expense that Waste Connection put into the rate set application. And as you can see, it comes down to almost 46%. It's really difficult in these years dealing with Waste Connections and the expenses that they're claiming, but it's hard not to reject the claims because they do provide verification and there's vertical integration of their companies, including the landfill, that kind of lead into all this. So basically what I'm trying to say is if the CSD was evaluating the same rate application, we would have probably come to the same conclusion that the county is going to come to, which will probably be a 2 or 3% less than this, but still very high. Any questions about that? Any of that before we move on to the...
Yeah, just so that's what is currently under review and in negotiation by the county.
Correct.
Okay.
Really kind of what we're looking at is, do we trust the county to negotiate as good a deal as we could have done if we were tasked with this? And
like I said, if I was evaluating this, I would have a hard time not going along, especially with Bill Statler. He's been doing these rate evaluations for North County, South County, and including Mission Country. It's just the way the manual and set rate setting process is set up. It's hard not to approve those rates.
But the manual is due for an update?
Yes. I worked on the manual back in 1994, and it's due for an update, like me.
No. We like it just as you are. It's just fine.
A reboot? I don't know. Something like that.
I guess, so it's the yearly, this is done yearly on the rate increases?
It's a 3-year process. 3 years. Okay. Yeah, the base year is what we're in right now, and that's when we do the full evaluation. And that is supposed to reveal everything they anticipate over the next 2 years in this base year. So when you go the next 2 years, it should only be a cost of living, CPI. And then if tipping fees go up or any other pass through the cost, they call it, are also included in that.
Because I just, the CPI up there is 3.3 and last year was like 4.1 or 3. So do they average over those 3-year period or at the very bottom? CPI slash other 3.3?
Yeah.
Or do they average over those 3 years?
I think it's looking back and over the 3 years, you know, because if you look at the way they do, you know, exclude the IWMA expense, because that really, even though it's a included in what the increase will be, that is not a Waste Connections cost. Okay. So that's more like a pass-through cost.
Okay.
But you can see on the depreciation, capital investment depreciation, it's quite high.
Yeah.
And that's because they past management at Waste Connections did not invest in new equipment, mainly trucks.
They put a lot of new trucks.
And so they had to put a lot of new trucks on the road. So we're paying for that up front right now. Same with the HCI digester expense. That one, it was built, I forget what year it was built. It's been a while now. But it's been operating at a loss. And so now with the SB 1383 requirements, that's a key piece of our green waste. Yeah.
That was going to be my next question.
Right.
Is that cost is not in here yet?
Yes, that expense is. It's part of the IWMA expense.
Okay.
Because that's going to help us in getting the community on board and the public outreach, get the commercial customers on board, et cetera. And then, of course, the wage adjustments to market. You know, we're just talking about wages for our own employees, so we understand that dynamic, what's going on there.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'd like to open this discussion for public comment.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your computer, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the microphone.
Richard Margetson. Not that I'm proposing this, but I'm just curious under this. We're good? Okay. Under this new rate setting structure, do we have the option of taking a lower franchise fee once the actual rate schedule comes out on how much of an increase this is going to be per container in the different sizes? And do we have a chart yet showing what, you know, a medium size garbage container is going to be now compared to what it is now? And do we have that option? Because for those that Chuck was on the board at the time, there was a period where we lowered the franchise fee from the 10% to 5% a couple of years because the hit at that point was so dramatic, and then it bumped back up to 10% later on down the road. I just wondered if it is an option.
Okay, thank you. Do we have...
There's no further public comment online.
Okay, Ron.
that is a great question. The predicament we're in is that we'll hopefully transfer the franchise and franchise fee tomorrow. And so we really haven't received any money, and we still owe the county $1.1 million, I want to say $1.2 million. And we'll have a $10,000 a month payment on that debt. So I guess what I'm saying is we don't have the cash to really offset anything right now. Now in the future, you're absolutely right. As soon as we, and I don't know how long that'll take, you know, to get to a point where, because of the responsibilities coming back, we're adding those to the administrative services manager and my workload, and there'll be a cost that we share there. So until we understand how that budget's going to work, I don't think we can do anything at this point in time, but could happen in the future. And there is going to be a chart that shows the impacts. That just hasn't come out yet.
Okay, thank you. Back to the board. Do we have any more discussion on this resolution?
I just want to go back to the last comment and then the second half of Ron's financial impact. The consequence of not taking action would result in the franchise agreement responsibilities and revenue from the franchise fee not being assigned to the district as proposed. Go back to the basics. What does this really mean in terms of revenue to the district?
Well, minus we'll pay the county about $120,000 a year. And depending, you know, this rate increase, you know, the franchise fee is based on a percent of gross revenue. So the fee is going to go up. When I was looking at that under the current, it would be about another $120,000 a year at this point. I think it'll be higher once this rate increase goes through.
Yeah, but to finish that out, that's revenue that was going to the county.
Right.
It's now coming into
back to us. Right.
Right. And in the future, similar to what Richard said, we'll have the flexibility to do something for the community.
Right. I would rather control that revenue than have the county do it.
Okay. Do we have a motion ready?
I will move that the board adopt resolution 2022-11 supporting the County of San Luis Obispo's rate setting process and the proposed solid waste rates. It's tough for you too.
I second that motion.
Okay, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice President Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Gatchel.
Yes.
President Forcroy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to 5C, our guest house water use estimations.
Yes, go ahead and go to the next slide, please. This is really a kind of a spinoff from talking with both with Chuck and Matthew, and we took this item to the Utility Advisory Committee. You know, there's a lot of concern in the community about water resiliency and how our Los Osos groundwater basin is holding up. And from that, there's been a lot of community discussion, a lot on social media, such as Nextdoor, about the impacts of just really, you know, the people remodeling their houses, enlarging their houses, wanting to build guest houses. That's been most of where the conversation has been, and the speculation of what those impacts are on the water supply. And so when we were talking, there was really a lack of data, or even kind of try to put this into context to what does this mean to our water supply here in Los Osos. So I want to kind of qualify that really this was just an attempt to put some numbers from some of the things I have experience with. It's very limited in the scope because there's only been 8 guest houses built in Los Osos or in our water service area since 2017. So then again, it is limited, but I thought it'd be interesting to put that into context. So next slide, please. I did want to go back and just kind of where the district's policies are. District, we are in stage 3 of our water shortage contingency plan and have been for many years. And we currently do not provide will serve letters to vacant properties. And this is consistent with condition 6 of the wastewater project. Also, the moratorium on until the water supply issues are resolved to the satisfaction of the Coastal Commission. What we have done though, and this predates me, is that we provide continue to serve letters to existing customers who want to make remodels, could be bedrooms and bathrooms, or make additions, and it could be like a guest house to their residences. So I just want to be clear on where we are as a district, and we'll enjoy some input from the board on that. Okay, next slide, please. I thought we would go through the county's definition of what a guest house is, and I'll try not to read all these slides, but basically a guest house is a facility or a sleeping home, office, or office facility without an indoor connection to the living area of the principal residence. So it can either be detached or attached, but with a separate entrance. And these next series of things are the regulation on them. They can contain up to 2 bedrooms and 1 bathroom, include a wet bar, a limited single sink, and an under-counter refrigerator. But I think the key here is a guest house shall not be designed to contain or accommodate cooking or laundry facilities and shall not be used for residential occupancy independent from the principal residence or as a dwelling unit for a rental. So that's kind of the key difference between this and an ADU, though an ADU can have a kitchen facility be rented and fully occupied. Home offices have the exact same regulations as a guest house, so I won't go through those again. A guest house, and this really doesn't apply to us in here in Los Osos since secondary dwelling units are not allowed here now until the Coastal Commission says so, but you cannot have a guest house or home office on a site with a secondary dwelling unit. Next slide. This one is about density, really doesn't apply to what we're talking about here. It's a density requirement for multifamily. A guest house shall not be provided an electric meter separate from a principal residence. And this is something, Chuck, I didn't have on the slides for the UAC, that the maximum floor area allowed for a guest house is for up to 40% of the habitable floor area of the main residence, or up to 600 square feet. So what I did, I went back to a 2013 City of San Luis Obispo study that I did. It was as for the development of water impact fees. But at that time, there was pressure for smaller dwelling units in San Luis Obispo, and they wanted to have an impact fee different from an apartment, different from a mobile home. So really, I went in and analyzed, I think it was about 50 the water use records for about 50 studio apartments to come up with a gallons per fair square foot per month. And again, studio apartments are meant to be occupied full time with residential uses like cooking and laundry facilities. So anyway, I thought this would be a conservative estimate that we could apply to the guest houses that we know that have been built in Los Osos. Next slide, please. Is that double must have? No, that's right. Again, this is a little bit small, but these are the square feet of the 7 of the 8 guest houses built since 2017. There was one that I couldn't really glean off from the printout from the county or off their website, so I excluded that. But what I did do is apply that 3.13 gallons per square foot per month to come up with an annual estimated water use. This is in acre feet. I'm sorry, my brain works in acre feet, but it'll get down to gallons here eventually. So as you can see, that top one, 592 square foot guest house could use up to 0.068 acre feet. And as you can see, they're all, as you get smaller, of course, it's the 250 is down to about 0.03 acre feet. So that total for that this group of guest houses, total for acre feet per year is 0.348. And I'll get this into perspective here in just a minute. Next slide, please. So what I did do for all eight, I had, the property information, but I do have to tell you that, legally we have to protect the confidentiality of our water customers. So there's no addresses, parcels, and I tried to make it so, unless you're really wanting to pursue this, understand where these are. So I have the eight locations. I have the gallon difference final permit finaled, and then the gallon of usage after the permit was finaled. And then that equated into acre feet. So you can see there's a range that's almost close to the positive ones that are close to what I estimated with the studio apartment numbers. But as you can see, about half of them went down afterwards. And so why was this? And that was the other question. So I added the account change. Was there a change in the account when from the time that I got the water use records to when the guest house was built? And so you can see about half of them were no change, and half of them did change. And the interesting about the ones that did change down with no change, they kind of netted out to a zero. And that was, I didn't anticipate that, but that's what it was. And the ones that did have a change in an account, which could mean change of occupancy or even, different things could influence that water use, it did go up 1.65 acre feet a year. And so you can see over there, I did equate the annual total for the 0.165 into gallons. So it's about 54,000 gallons of water. Next slide, please. So then I thought, well, we need to look at how does that relate to our overall water use. So for that same period, 2017 to 2021, our production, I did this chart of production versus estimated water use in the two ways we calculated. So you can see we used 570 acre feet in 2017 and we used 502 acre feet in 2021. Quite a big difference for a small community. And, that could be weather, it could be a lot of things, in that number, but you can see it does fluctuate, can fluctuate quite a bit. So when you look at the percent total, what that basically is using that 0.165 acre feet, it's a 0.03% of our water use. So not a very high percentage. And if we used the water factor, the full water factor of that 3.13 gallons, it about doubles, maybe a little bit more than doubles. But again, a fairly low percentage of our overall water use through this time period. Next slide. And here I tried, and these are small numbers again, but it was a long, I tried to put it in to gallons. So 502 acre feet is 163,577 gallons. If you use that guest house number, 53,000 gallons, 54,000 gallons of that was guest house. And then I threw in the GP gallons per person per day number, just so you can see it does fluctuate as well. Obviously, when we use more water, it goes up and vice versa. But I think what I wanted to show here, if you mix in the number, the estimated use of these guest houses, they really didn't have any effect, overall effect on water use. And 54,000 gallons sounds like a lot of water, but when you're up in the 170 million gallons, it's lost in the noise of the data, basically. And I think in summary, again, I want to emphasize there's many variables such as customer change, drought conditions, increase or decrease in the number of family members, landscape changes that can affect water use. The purpose of this was just to bring a perspective. It's not that scientific or valid statistically, but it was to add, a level of at least numbers to the conversation. And as I stated, it's merely a comparison of water use before and after of these eight sites. So with that, I can answer any questions.
Thanks, Ron. Have any discussion here on the board?
I would just like to say thank you, because I kind of pushed you into what we've been talking about it for a while, and not like in all of the dialogue that was out there. And without numbers, discussions can go anywhere. And so this is just exactly what you said. It's the best look that we have at what's been happening. One thing I found interesting is that without a change in the account, the water use didn't go up. So people apparently are wanting guest houses and are willing to abide by whatever regulations. But if you buy the guest house that's been permitted, maybe you're looking to maximize the use because the water use did go up in those situations. But again, not enough of them to really present a significant overall impact on our water use. And I appreciate dialogue, because the worst thing that can happen is that people are talking without numbers, without facts, without information. And I appreciate this.
Yeah, I can add on to that a little bit. I guess from my standpoint, I appreciate knowing, you know, what the impacts were, because I see that the impacts are relatively minor for the basin, but the impacts on the families, you know, who are potentially utilizing guest houses, I think is probably pretty profound. It's, you know, people with kids or people with family that they want to bring back. I know sometimes guest houses, like your kid goes to college, you build a guest house for when they come and visit, hopefully. Those are all entirely positive things. And I hope we have the ability to be able to improve our properties that way.
Yeah, thank you, Ron, for that. I think it's also good to explain the difference between the guest house and the ADU, because I think it's used interchangeably sometimes with people in discussions. So clarifying that was good as well.
Yeah, thanks. Do we have any public comment about this item?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your computer, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. All right, Lynette, you just have to unmute yourself.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. Ron, I would just like to give you a great big thank you. That was an excellent summary of the water used on guest houses. I'm a member of LOCAC, and the ADU letter that got sent to the Coastal Commission somehow has been conflated with guest houses. Every single guest house that has come before us has been denied by LOCAC, at least the Land Use Committee. And it's really discouraging, because it's all based on speculation about probably taking that ADU letter that went to the Coastal Commission and using that against guest houses. Also, everything in the 2020 report from the Basin Management Committee has also been used. All the negative things have been used, and I find it really discouraging to see these people coming before us. They have followed every single rule that the county has, and they deny it anyway, just because they have this idea that we simply don't have enough water and this will be a huge impact if you allow a guest house. I just had a couple questions. Do ADUs have to do a 2-to-1 water offset? My other question, were there other numbers of guest houses outside of this, our water district? And I think that's pretty much it. I just find that we did have one report on the actual condition of the basin by someone that was on the water board at LOCAC, and it was just kind of poo-pooed and dismissed. And I realize these are small numbers of things, but it's just so discouraging to see the negativity. It feels like the sewer depression casting its spell over Los Osos once again on the subject of water this time. So anyway, thanks a lot, Ron. And if there's any answers to those questions, I would appreciate it. And thank you for your time.
There's no other comment at this time.
Okay, Ron, do you have?
Yes, for the ADU and the offsets, yes, they do have to offset. And it's kind of a gray area with guest houses. I think voluntarily My understanding is that the guest house permittees are willing to offset as well. As far as knowing the number outside the district, I received a printout from the county a couple of months ago that provided all this information to me, but it was strictly to the CSD's water service area. So I'm sure there have been some over in Golden State and maybe even S&T, but I'm not aware how many.
Okay, great. I don't think we have any further discussion. There's nothing to do on this one. So we'll move on. Our next agenda item is for any public comment for items not on this agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, *9. If you're at the boardroom, come up to the podium. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
Thanks, Laura. Okay, we're moving on to administrative and committee reports. The first up would be our fire department report. Looks like our chief is not here.
He's actually on Zoom. Paul, okay. Are you available? You're muted.
Just trying to get my phone to work. Well, good evening. Sorry I couldn't join you in person, but doing a little family stuff tonight. So just go right into the report. So for the reporting period, we had 133 calls, mostly dominated by medical aids, but we did have some smoke in the air. We had a vegetation fire that occurred over by the state park property over at the end of Butte in Nevada area. Did about a quarter acre. We were able to determine the cause and mitigate that. And hopefully won't have any of that in the future, but no property damage, no environmental damage. We also did have a structure. Well, it was an RV fire that a little bit of exposure into the residents over on the Del Norte neighborhood. Crews were able to make a good stop there and minimize the damage. Moving on to our special programs and projects, I finally got the fire engine into Los Osos. It is currently at Station 15 in the bay. We are finishing putting all the equipment on, putting the hose on, putting all the new gadgets and whatnot on the engine. The crews will start training on it hopefully later this week. And then we are looking to do a community event April 16th, this Saturday. Probably around 10 o'clock. We're just kind of waiting to see how things are progressing with the fire engine, make sure that we don't find any issues with it so that it doesn't put a damper on our event. The board will be invited. The community will be invited to come out and help us put our new engine into service. But you will see it probably driving around town. The crews will be getting familiar with the engine and doing training, but it will not be in service before April 16th. We're going to be commencing our defensible space inspections this month. We are realigning some personnel to assume new duties and take over that. My goal is to have our companies go out and kind of work in a spiral, outward spiraling or inward spiraling pattern. So work the peripheral areas first and then work towards the interior. And we're hoping to do a lot more personal contact this year where we're actually out walking the streets, handing out some information and educating the public on what defensible space is and what they can do to help harden their homes and what they can do in the event of a fire to help make sure that they have a positive outcome. We're still accepting reserve firefighter applications, and we'll probably be closing that here shortly, just so that we can kind of put a stop date so that we can get a group of candidates together to potentially hire. We have had some folks move on here, and I anticipate some of our folks that are seasonal employees with CAL FIRE will be unavailable through the summer, so we may want to bolster our staffing a little bit, provided we have qualified candidates. On the CAL FIRE side of the house, the state will go to nine state engines available April 11th in the San Luis Obispo unit. So that'll bolster our ability to respond to fires and whatnot in the San Luis Obispo County area and the state. End of report.
Okay, thanks, Chief Province. I had a question for you.
Sure.
I saw a truck the other day, and I noticed it has a designator, it has some letters that say SLC, and our old one said SBY. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, that was by direction of the fire chief to do it as to make it uniform with the rest of the county fire engines. That's the San Luis Obispo County three-letter designator. but it is still part of the South Bay Fire or South Bay Fire District administration.
Yeah, so what was the SBY designator for?
That's the three-letter designator for OES. So when the South Bay Fire Department was on its own, that would be the designator of the fire department on its own. Now with South Bay being a part of San Luis Obispo County, it's adopting the San Luis Obispo County three-letter designator. The engine still says serving the community of Los Osos and still has the split CAL FIRE Los Osos emblem that it's always had.
Got it. But that engine's, I mean, the district, the Los Osos Community Services District still owns that engine, correct?
Correct.
Got it. Thank you. Any other questions from the board? Oh, sorry, it's not time for that, but for Chief Province? Nope. Okay, move on. Thank you very much. Sheriff's report. Thanks for being here tonight. Good to see you.
Hi there, Ian Dowdy with the Sheriff's Office, one of the sergeants at the Coast Station. For March, for Los Osos, we had 59 calls for service. Last year, we had 69, so a little decrease in that. Of those, we had 3 assault and battery, 31 disturbances, which, as I've said, could be anything from a loud car to a party to a fight or something along those lines. 1 burglary, 12 theft, 0 vandalism, 3 calls for mail theft, no calls for phone scams, 11 suspicious circumstances or calls for service, 28 enforcement stops would be traffic or vehicle or pedestrian stops, and 24 preventive patrol activity, which will be generally extra patrol or vacation checks. No real critical incidents or large events this last month in March, at least for Los Osos. For Palisades, we're still working with the unhoused population on a case-by-case basis with Kansas Safe Parking over off Oklahoma. And that seems to be working out relatively well. And we're working with some of the subjects over there. We did have one of our SROs retire. And so he's come back as a reserve. And so now we have a new SRO. So for Los Osos Middle School, as well as some of the other districts in this area. And then as of this week, the sheriff's office is implementing our body-worn camera for patrol. So we're happy to have that out here in Los Osos and at our coast station. So we're rolling that out. And so that should be patrol, sheriff's office wide. So happy to answer any questions.
All right, gotta do this. I've asked these questions before, but basically, I don't know about the rest of the board members, but that's easily one of the biggest things I get asked about is Palisades. So people are still seeing RVs over there and whatnot. Mm-hmm. What's our actual, like the ordinances that are in place right now?
So
like,
the actual ordinance, and there is the recent ordinance that was put in place for Los Osos, which previously there hadn't been the one in for Los Osos, I'm sure you're aware. So that one is for no camping. However, still to enforce that, we need to basically ensure that there is some place that someone can go, but they're refusing to go to. So that has played into with the Kansas Safe Parking. We essentially need to make sure that there's open spaces there and people are refusing to go to for any the enforcement of it. That being said, we're still offering if we can tow people, move people, facilitate them getting over to Kansas Safe Parking. And sometimes we have a handful of people who don't want to go for whatever reason over there. And we're working with them as best as we can. And so that's the ordinance that we have, as well as working with the highway patrol. They can do the 72-hour marking for parked vehicles, and we'll work with them for that.
Okay, so basically we have the ordinances in place, and just it takes time to work with folks to get them a place to go.
Essentially, yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you guys
for being here. Have a good night. Uh-huh. All right, moving on to our CHP report.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Sure can.
Yeah, we okay, can. Well, all online and all in the boardroom. Nice to see you guys in the boardroom finally.
As it says, I'm Jason Grimm. I'm the lieutenant here in San Luis Obispo, and I have just four incidents to report today. We had a DUI arrest, which was as a result of a traffic collision on March 9th. It was at 7 p.m. It was at Pecho Valley Road in Rodman, resulting in a minor injury, moderate damage to the vehicle. Then we have three traffic collisions, another one on the 9th at 5:30 p.m. It was at Los Osos Valley Road in Palisades. It was a minor fender bender involving two vehicles, no injury. On the 25th, we had a hit and run, unknown date or unknown time. A vehicle was parked, and the owner came out the next morning and noticed damage to their car. So no follow-up information on that, on the hit and run vehicle. No idea who, what, when, or what direction they went in. And that was at Henrietta and Don, I believe. Yeah, Henrietta and Don. On the 26th at 2:15, we had a minor injury traffic collision at Foothill and Jogi. And I know that's not too close, but it's in that district, Eric. So other than that, those are the four incidents we had to report. And that's it. Any questions?
Okay, thanks very much. Where are we at on the list to get the speed trailer back in town?
We can make that happen probably as soon as Friday. What, do you have a specific location? I know we've talked before.
I think I don't know. Assume, yeah, so we had talked about it by
Don. Sorry, go ahead.
We have all our doors open because it's kind of hot in the boardroom right now. But
air conditioning in my apartment.
We had talked about near Baywood Elementary was a location. Okay. We talked about near Monarch Grove, and then in and around 9th and Los Osos Valley Road to help calm the traffic for kids trying to go get snacks from the skate park.
Okay. Yep. I think we had it out there since the last time we talked, or at least since I think I saw you guys, it was probably February of the alternating captain. So I will talk to the captain tomorrow, and we'll try to get that out there either tomorrow or first thing next week, then somewhere out there. Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Help.
All right. Have a good evening.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on. We'll go right to the GM report.
Yes.
We did have quite a bit of jump in February. We were scratching our heads trying to figure out why, but the most we can come up with is that it was super dry, and January was super dry. So we think it was a carryover, though we have seen that type of jump before in the past. The other thing I did want to point out in the water billing information, our good friend Richard Margetson pointed out an irregularity in the December 2021 data, that 270 that we had 2 years in a row of the exact consumption and exact dollars, that was an error. So we always appreciate Richard and his sharp eye on those things. And just a real quick update on our CIP projects. 8th Street Upper Aquifer Well, all the valving is done. We were going to have to wait 6 to 8 months for the electrical components on back order. But our contractor and our support engineering staff have come up with a way to purchase the parts individually and have them assembled on site and then certified by a third party that essentially would be the same as when we buy it from a vendor. So we're hoping to have those by the end of this month. We may be able to wrap that up by in May. Good news. South Street Tank. The exterior has been more or less done there. When they did the sandblasting down to metal, they actually blew holes in the roof. That's how corroded it was. So they've got the exterior all painted. They're going to do the welding of those holes and then finish the painting, I think tomorrow, or the welding tomorrow and the painting the beginning of the week. They're currently working on the interior of that. So we're hoping to have that done by the end of the month as well. It might be the beginning of May. Program Seawell project, we got our approval from the county on March 4th. We put out the bid package after our March 3rd meeting. We put it on March 4th as well. There is a agenda item on consent that indicates that we got one bid. That was about $460,000 over the engineering estimate. So we're going back out to bid on that. Hopeful to keep moving along. We are engaging with the other parts of the project. We're going to get the design of the pipeline going here shortly because we do have that $1.5 million grant, and it's time certain that we have to use it by. Over to the GM report real quick. Like I said in my presentation, there's a regional solid waste rate setting manual update. We had our first meeting, well participated. I was on it. I'm part of the subcommittee to go through and look at the key pieces that need to be updated. So I'll keep you posted as that comes forward. Our water resource operator, Clint, had his 10-year anniversary. He started with the district when he was 19. And so he's still a young guy at 29. So anyway, we want to thank him. He's put in a lot of good years and work for us. And it's always the drought reminder. We are in stage three, and things aren't getting any better if you're following the news. So please conserve water. And with that, I can answer any questions.
I got a question about storage tanks, our water storage tanks. I mean, when we rehab one, it's empty. We have plenty of redundancy, I know. How long has that been down? And I guess what are, I just don't think about that kind of thing. The repercussions of how you plan for such a major part of your infrastructure to be down for a while.
It is a challenge, was a challenge, and continues to be a challenge. Luckily, we have the two tanks up there, but taking it down was quite a process. Because we had false starts, we were going to begin that project in early January, and COVID hit the contractor crew and delayed it about a month. So we had it down with no work going on for about a month. And that was, I think we took it out of service either at the end of December, beginning of January, right in there somewhere. The only liability we see is if we had a huge fire in Los Osos. That's right. What those tanks are there for. They got big fire pumps associated with them. So getting it back up for summer will add that resiliency that we need for fire flow. Our plan is to do the north tank, the other tank up there, sometime next fiscal year. And so we'll try to plan that one again and trying to get it in the fall, winter period.
I think you hit my question that I didn't really ask on the nail on the head. Is there anything other than fire flow that we really need to be concerned about when a tank is down? I mean, because we have redundancies, we plan, we're going to supply water. It's that freak event, and that would be fire.
That would be fire. You know, there's operational things about, how we run the well system. Because, you know, they come on and off, each of the wells come on and off for a certain time when the tanks get to a certain level. When you only have one tank instead of two, that does change those operations as well.
Well, kudos to the crew for keeping things going, and to Clint too for his 10 years.
Yeah.
Question on the program. So you said we have a time limit on the grant.
Right.
What's that time
limit? I want to say June 2024. Okay. Margaret's nodding. And we know the permitting, the design permitting, and a construction of the pipeline is going to be the tricky part.
Yeah. And we just didn't get bids back.
No, we reached out to, we thought we had two local, the firm that bid is from Fresno Bakersfield. We thought we had two that would bid, and they indicated that the construction period in the specs was too short for them because they are so busy. They didn't think they could complete it within that. So in the bid package that you see here, we extended the bid period and then the construction period, and they've indicated that they will bid. So we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move on. For Parks and Rec, we did not have a meeting, but we are about to on April 16th. We're going to have a live in-person meeting right here to go through more dog park issues and move ahead. Chuck, do you have a UAC update you'd like to do?
Well, obviously, there's been a lot going on with UAC in the past couple months. The rate study, the guest house analysis committee does wonderful work, and I appreciate Ron's insight into how to make the numbers mean something. And because the discussion is getting all over the place, and the last thing we want is just to have an uninformed discussion. we want discussion. We want everybody talking about what's going on, but we want to make sure that there's accurate information. And so I just appreciate the committee and what's been going on there. And the rate increase is something we take very seriously. And the Rockin' R's do solid work for us. We are very fortunate to have the expertise volunteered, and I can't say enough about them. And that's it from UAC.
Okay, thank you. Any question on that, Troy?
No.
Okay. Should have an FAC update.
Right. Chris and Marshall are gone. I can briefly say that the FAC did recommend approval of the warrants and financials as presented.
Did have an emergency services meeting, correct?
We did. We had Chief Moore, Chief Swanson, and Chief Province all in attendance. Chief Moore provided a general update of County Fire. He couldn't really talk to his strategic plan yet because he has yet to present that to the Board of Supervisors, so we'll hear more on that. I did present a report on the service level trends in the finances over the last 10 years. I'd encourage anyone that's interested in emergency services to check out that report. And then Chris, Matthew, and I did attend a CAL FIRE demonstration day out at their training center out behind Cuesta College, and it was quite interesting. I think they're going to do it annually, and I'd encourage other board members, if they do it again, to, if you have the time, to go out and observe. Is there anything else, Matthew?
No, I think that was about it. Okay.
Troy, you were there. I'm sorry. Troy.
No, I think that's okay.
Those beards all over.
I thought you were talking about the demonstration today.
And also the ESAC meeting.
That's my announcement. I went and got to use the jaws of life.
Oh, ooh. Got pictures of that. We got to post that.
Interesting. And, had a nice lunch for us, but we definitely learned a lot in especially how they staff an incident while it's happening. And I think that part was really informative for us as far as how things are operated from our fire station and how fortunate we are in this community to have the paramedics that we have on every single call. So those are very important points that were not lost on us. Does anybody else have any director's announcements? And I don't think we have response, any previously asked questions to respond to.
Not at this time.
I'm going to move to public comment for items. But first, does anybody want to pull a consent item? Oh, okay. I'm going to move to public comment for items on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda.
I'd like to make a public comment in your honor. That I cut out. Sorry. If you're on your computer, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium.
Richard Margaretson, without going into the long history of how we got here with CAL FIRE, when this engine is unveiled to the community, I think we have to make sure that the community understands that this was paid for with cash. The first 10 years of the CAL FIRE contract, the average increase was less than 1%, which allowed us to build the reserves to pay for every vehicle the district has purchased from since 2005 for cash. On the flip side, that same thing is happening with the water department. Everything is being paid for with cash as far as projects from capital reserves. Our water rate increase is substantially lower than what Golden State customers are enduring. I think it's something that the public needs to be reminded of or made aware of again, because we went through years of grief about the financial condition of this district. And I believe we're in the unincorporated area, I think we're the envy of the county financially. I talked to directors in Cambria, they would switch with us in a minute financially. Thank you.
Thanks for that perspective, Richard. Okay, with that, we'll bring it back to the board. See if we have a motion on the consent agenda, administrative and committee reports.
I move to accept the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
Second that.
I think we need a roll call, please.
Vice President Sesemia.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Forcray, or President
Forcray. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Do we have any future agenda items that we'd like to make sure get on there? Or any closing board comments? I, you know, want to thank Richard and Ron and for the water rate study again. I think that's a huge benefit for our community. It's, we're so forward looking, and I think that's a really great thing.
And Bob Ron, Miller.
Yep. Sorry.
Rockin' ours. Yeah, especially in light of the headlines in the New Times today. I'm just glad that we're at where we're at. It's a tough time for everyone. Prices are going up everywhere, it seems. And I know, I have confidence that we work as hard as we can to keep them down. I'm glad to be a part of this district as compared to other places in the county.
Thanks for that. Okay, meeting adjourned. We'll see you next month.
Thanks, everyone, especially our crowd live. Yeah.
Well, and thanks to Laura for being here and for making hybrid meetings possible and all of this. You've done so much for us.